Chapter 9. I picked up some burgers, four for me and four for Mouse, and went home. I got onion rings too, but Mouse didn't get any because my Class 4 hazmat suit was at the cleaners. Mister, of course, got an onion ring because he has seniority. He ate some, batted the rest around the kitchen floor for a minute, then growled to be let outside for his evening ramble. By the time I'd eaten, it was after 10, and I was entertaining thoughts of putting off more investigation until after a full night's sleep. Pulling all-nighters was getting to be more difficult than it had been when I was 20 and full of what my old mentor Ebenezer McCoy would term vinegar. Staying awake wasn't the issue. If anything, it was far easier to ignore fatigue and maintain concentration these days. Recovering from it was a different story. I didn't bounce back from the sleep deprivation quite as quickly as I used to, and a missed night's sleep tended to make me grouchy for a couple of days while I got caught up. Two, my body was still recovering from way too many injuries suffered in previous cases. If I'd been a normal human being, I'd probably be walking around with a collection of scars, residual pain, and stiff joints, like an NFL lineman at the tail end of an injury-plagued career, or a boxer who had been hit too many times. But I wasn't normal. Whatever it is that allows me to use magic also gives me a greatly enhanced lifespan, and an ability to eventually recover from injuries that would, in a normal person, be permanently disabling. That didn't really help me much on an immediate day-to-day basis, but given what my body's gone through, I'm just as glad that I could get better, with enough work and enough time. Losing a hand is bad for anyone. Living for 3 or 4 centuries with one hand would, in the words of my generation, blow goats. Sleep would be nice, but Thomas might need my help. I'd get plenty of sleep when I was dead. I glanced at my maimed hand, then picked up my old acoustic guitar and sat down on the sofa. I flicked some candles to life and, concentrating on my left hand, began to practice. Simple scales first, then a few other exercises to warm up, then some quiet play. My hand was nowhere close to 100%, but it was a lot better than it had been, and I finally drilled enough basics into my fingers to allow me to play a little. Mouse lifted his head and looked at me. He let out a very quiet sigh. Then he heaved himself to his feet from where he'd been sleeping and padded into my bedroom. He nudged the door shut with his nose. Everybody's a critic. Okay, Lash, I said, and kept playing. Let's talk. Lash? Said a quiet woman's voice. Do I merit an affectionate nickname now? One minute, there was no one sitting in the recliner facing the sofa. The next, a woman sat there, poof, just like magic. She was tall, 6 feet or so, and built like an athlete. Generally, when she appeared to me, she appeared as a healthy-looking young woman with girl-next-door good looks, dressed in a white Greco-Roman tunic that fell to mid-thigh. Plain leather sandals had covered her feet, their thongs wrapping up around her calves. Her hair color had changed occasionally, but the outfit had remained a constant. Given the fact that you're a fallen angel, literally older than time and capable of thought and action I can't really comprehend, whereas to you, I am a mere mortal with a teeny bit more power than most. I thought of it more as a thinly veiled bit of insolence, I smiled at her. Lash. She tilted her head back and laughed. To all appearances, genuinely amused. From you, it is perhaps not as insulting as it might be from another mortal. And after all, I am not in fact that being. I am only her shadow, her emissary, a figment of your own perception, and a guest within your mind. Guests get invited, I said. You're more like a vacuum cleaner salesman who managed to talk his way inside for a demonstration and just won't leave. Touché, my host, she admitted, though I would like to think I have been both more helpful and infinitely more courteous than such an individual. Granted, I said, it doesn't change anything about being unwelcome. Then rid yourself of me. Take up the coin, and I will rejoin the rest of myself, whole again. You will be well rid of me. I snorted. Yeah, up until Big Sister gets into my head. turns me into her psychotic boy toy, and I wind up a monster like the rest of the Denarians. Lashiel, the fallen angel, whose full being was currently bound in an old Roman denarius in my basement, held up a mollifying hand. Have I not given you sufficient space? Have I not done as you asked, remained silent and still? When is the last time I have intruded, the last time we spoke, my host? I hit a bad chord, grimaced, and muted it out. Then I started over. New Mexico, and that wasn't by choice. Of course it was, she said. It is always your choice. I shook my head. I don't speak ghoul. As far as I know, no one does. None of you have ever lived in ancient Sumeria, Lashiel said.